fighters, welcome to the Contractor Fight Podcast. Just like every other Tuesday, today we're going to dig into the topic of sales. We're going to talk all things communication, sales, money mindset, how your brain should approach the sales game, and some other cool actions for you to take consistently that will move the sales needle. Appreciate you guys being here. Give us a review. Share this episode with another contractor that you know could use it. And without further ado, let's talk about sales.
Well, hello everybody out there in podcast land. This is Steve Schenholzer. I am solo today. Otherwise, it's going to be called a solo cast. Tom and Derek are both out doing life stuff. And so you got me for the next 15 or 20 minutes. And I thought I would just take this opportunity and sort of just tell you a brief history, a few minutes about myself, and a few minutes about what I've accomplished in my life, and a few minutes why I think you can do all this yourself. Because we teach in in the battleground there, we teach a lot of principles surrounding about business. When I grew up, I didn't know any of these principles. These were all just derived over time, and they worked out really well. And if you practice these principles, and I'll go over a few of them in just a few minutes, you'll kill it. So with that, I was born in the family of eight kids, my mom and dad. My dad made, in today's money, $38,000 a year, feeding 10 mouths. He was also an alcoholic. He liked to come home and beat up on the kids every so often just to get rid of his frustration. So I came from a household probably similar to a lot of people listening to me. He was frustrated because he didn't have any money. And I was taught as a child that rich people are bad. If someone has a lot of money, they must have stolen it or gotten it illegally or done bad things for it. So I didn't have the greatest mindset. We never had money. I was fortunate enough to be a springboard diver and good enough to be on the travel squad. And the way the varsity kids practiced, they had to go to the Country Club of Virginia. I grew up in Richmond, Virginia. And so for 10 years of my life, from 8 to 18, I got to go to the Country Club of Virginia, hang out with the rich people. I would be, my later years, I would be, picking up the trash. Then I became a lifeguard and I got to hang out all day. I made some friends. They would take me to the beach house in the summertime and that kind of stuff. So I came from a very poor family, but I got to hang out in the summertime with the rich people. So I got to see a different side of it. And I learned a couple of things. First off, they weren't thinking about money all the time. Money wasn't even like a big deal for them. Like in my house, I remember the first time I spent the night, Friday night, Chris Coger's house. And I'm like, great, we're going to eat McDonald's tonight. He goes, Steve, my mom's cooking dinner. We're not having McDonald's. What's up with McDonald's? He goes, well, Friday, payday. That's when mom goes to the grocery store, buys all the groceries. She doesn't have time to cook. So she comes home. We all offload 22 bags of groceries and she brings home McDonald's and we love it. And Chris was like, what do you mean payday? I'm like, well, that's when dad gets the money. He goes, I don't know when my dad gets money. And I'm like, damn, he doesn't even have this whole money thing front and center. Like his life doesn't revolve around not having enough money. And the other thing I learned is they were nice. They were very generous. I mean, everybody at the country club, they loved me. They took care of me. A lot of these rich people, I didn't even know it. They paid my way to travel around the country to dive because I was a good diver, but I had no freaking money. And I didn't even learn this fact out until I was like 14, 15, 16. My coach would come up in the middle of the day. I'd be a lifeguarding at the pool. She goes, Steve, I need to take an hour off, drive over to Mrs. Smith's house and weed her garden. I'm like, what the hell am I doing that? And I'd go over there and Mrs. Smith would be there. She'd give me lemonade and I'd be weeding the garden. It'd be hot and I'd suck at weeding because I hated it. And I didn't understand why I did it. I just did it. And my coach later told me that these people, there were several of them around the country club, they would fund me and pay for me to go do my sport. And they felt like they wanted something in return, like to teach me a lesson. They didn't need the money back, but to put me in the backyard for an hour weeding was going to do it for them. So I learned about that kind of stuff later. But the point is, I didn't have shit growing up. I didn't have a good attitude growing up. I had a poor scarcity mindset. growing up. I ended up, the one thing I did know, though, quite honestly, I knew I was going to, I mean, my goal in life was to be a millionaire. I wanted, when I was a kid, I'm 65, so when I was a kid in the 60s, to be a millionaire by the time you were 30 was like a big deal. I didn't even know why it was a big deal, but, you know, like money today. I guess you got to be a billionaire today, though, by 30 to impress anybody. So I knew one thing, lifeguarding. So I got to college. I went to college. I was a stupid kid. I had like a 2.6 or 2.8 GPA, both in college and high school. I was not college material. I only went to college because they paid for it. I got a scholarship to go there to dive. So I'm like, what the hell? I'll go to school there. I almost flunked out. My first semester, I got a 0.6 average. That's three Fs, one B and one C. And I cheated to get the C. And the funny thing is, one of the, my Fs was, drug use and abuse. It was a science course. And of course, that's all I was doing is drinking and smoking pot in college. So you thought I would have aced that, but yeah, I got to go to class and take tests to ace that stuff. But I got through college. My two diving coaches, my college diving coach and my grade school diving coach, they were like my de facto mentors. They kept me in the game. They kept me off the streets. They kept me out of trouble because they kept me diving. And so they got me up to college. And when I got out of college, the only thing I knew how to do was be a lifeguard. So I went to work for a lifeguard management company in the DC area, the biggest one around here. And after 3 years, a guy that also worked there, we quit and started our own lifeguard business. That thing blew up and doing multi-millions of dollars, made me millions of dollars. I sold it for millions of dollars later. I started a second company in 2001, a pond company. I didn't know anything about building ponds and waterfalls in your backyard, but I figured that one out too. Same deal, made me millions, and I sold it for millions. So I've done this whole business thing twice, and I'm just here to give you a couple of principles that I've always followed that's done well for me.
If you're a window installer, you deserve a simple choice. Anderson 400 series windows. They're the windows contractors trust the most based on a 2022 survey of U.S. contractors, probably because they have fewer callbacks and extra peace of mind. And thanks to shortened lead times, they're available faster. At the Contractor Fight, we like to highlight companies and products who have a track record of delivering high quality and service to contractors like Anderson 400 series windows. Request a quote today at andersonwindows.com.
Probably the biggest and best thing I ever knew how to do when it came to business. And I had a business degree at the University of Maryland, but trust me, nothing I learned there, except for a typing class and a remedial English class about how to write a business letter when someone owes you money, that kind of thing. That came in really handy for me. But the number one principle that we decided we were going to follow is we were going to charge 50% as a profit margin on everything that we did. Meaning, if it costs you a dollar, charge two. And we never wavered from that. And so from the early years of the pool business, we started making money and quickly. I remember it was the end of my second year of the pool business. As a bonus, my partner and I handed each other $100,000. And as soon as I saw that check, $100,000, I was like, I know I'm going to be a millionaire. Now, at this point, I'm 27 years old. So I said, I know I'm going to be a millionaire, but now I'm 30 because this money's coming fast, furious. We have a good business model. We're charging the right amount and we work our ass off. I mean, we worked 100 hours a week, and I don't mean that exaggerating. I mean, from 6 o'clock in the morning till 3 a.m., 6 days a week. That's about what we worked to get these pools ready. So it was crazy. But that 50% profit margin, and I could, you know, if you're listening to me, you might be wanting to, maybe you're struggling in business. Maybe you just want to get a leg up. Maybe you just want to make more money, more time, more whatever. I'm here to tell you, the number one thing that I wish everybody would do is just charge 50% gross profit margin. You figure out that was. And the other thing you got to do is every time you finish a job, you add the numbers. You make goddamn sure you made 50%. A couple of things will happen. Number one, you'll get really rich really fast if you do that. Number two, when you go out in someone's backyard and you're talking to a homeowner about whatever you do, you can give them accurate numbers from your head. without a calculator, because you've done it. You've done 100 jobs like this. You've added up every job cost after the jobs are over. So you know where you're at. I know for a fact, I can just say, oh, this job's 40 grand. I'll be within a few thousand dollars of that, a couple of grand. So at that point, if I have to spend $400 on mulch, I don't really give a shit, because I've priced this job at $20,000. I've priced it, so I'm going to make about 12 grand. If I got 8,500, now I make 11,500 for mulch, I'm fine with that. So this 50% gross profit margin, it's the easiest, fastest thing you can do to make more money. Now, if you give me the argument that, Steve, the market will not bear that, I'm not here to tell you about you and your market, except for this. Every market I've ever been in, I'm 50% higher than everybody else. I ended up being the 800-pound gorilla in every business I ever opened. Okay? I made more money. I did more jobs than anybody. And I just charged it. I just wasn't going to accept. It's like Data on Star Trek. He's an android. He doesn't understand emotion. He doesn't understand anything but logic. So to me, if it falls below 50%, I just have to say no to the job. Or when I give a homeowner a price, I give them the price based on the cost, period. Nothing else. Second thing is, and this is something you can work on for sure, is how to treat people. I had to learn it because I was a real dickhead. I was a type A, do it my way or the highway. I mean, as I was all jacked up, I used to chew tobacco. And boy, you're sky high the whole time you're chewing, you know, Skoal, Copenhagen. But you got to learn to treat people. I had so many people. I ruined so many people in my first 5 years of my business because I didn't train them properly. I didn't treat them properly. And I wasn't getting the results. I mean, I made a shit ton of money, but I was beating them over the head with a stick. One day, I learned about the carrot. I learned how to treat people properly, how to treat them nice. You can be stern. Nothing has to be equal. It just has to be fair. You have to think about it like this. Would you want to work for you? Does your boss have your back and your best interests at heart, or is it his? See, I always took care of my people first. If I take care of my people and pay my people, guess what happens? I get taken care of and I get paid. And it happens easy because it's like the flow of honey. The flow of honey, if you dump that jar, it's going to roll downhill. And then they'll tip the table and roll right back to you. So, charging 50% gross profit margin and treating people well are the two biggest things, pieces of advice. And I'm going to stop right there with the advice, because I'm here to tell you, if I can do it, coming from my background, coming from my socioeconomic background and my lack of intelligence, I literally read like a seventh or eighth grader. I have to, all my books, which I devour one a week about, they're all audio books because I can burn through them and I'm entertained and I can absorb them. If I read them, I fall asleep and I got to reread every fucking paragraph, and it just doesn't work out for me. So you probably have come up with better home life situation than me. You're probably smarter than me. You're probably a lot of things than me, but you got to learn one thing that maybe you don't know how to do right now. And that's charge the right amount of money to do things and then start treating people like you'd like to be treated. And if you can do those two things, and only two things, you will retire a very wealthy and happy person. And not only that, everybody else that's ever worked for you, they'll also get to retire a very happy person and very financially satisfied person. So you don't have to beat your head up against a wall all the time. You just simply have to go, I can do those two things. I am the living proof here. I am proof positive that this shit works. That you could set me up in any business in any city. I know you hear these things before and you go, these guys are crazy. They're just a megalomaniac. But I could open up practically any business in any city. It's got to be a thriving city where people have money. I mean, you can't go, you know, bumfuck, you know, Tennessee when there's no population and no money. I mean, you have to have some common sense about this thing. But employing those two principles can make it happen. And I'm just proof that it can happen. And that's why I do what I do, because I know if I can make it, goddamn, anybody can make it. You can make it. Capiche? Listen, Thanks for listening to me ramble. I know it's a shorter one today. But that's what you get with the solo cast. So go out there and kill it. And until next week, have a good day.